You're listening to SBS News.
It is a time of great flux for the cruise line industry. Operators are vowing higher standards in the wake of the Ruby Princess debacle. Unions are calling for regulatory oversight and reinvestment in Australian flagged ships. Some cruise operators are already planning on setting sail again in September once the international cruise ship ban ends, while government health officials have made it clear Australians should not be booking cruise holidays just yet. What everyone generally agrees on, though, is that it can't be business as usual in a post-COVID-19 world. Joel Katz is Australasia Managing Director of the Cruise Lines International Association, the world's largest cruise industry trade association.
There's a requirement that we do a lot of work to regain the confidence of our travellers. And so our cruise lines are really doing a thorough analysis of the whole, door-to-door process for their passengers from the moment they make the booking to the moment they get home, just to try and understand how each element of that passenger journey is impacted by the current situation and how they can address the risks associated with those elements.
Pre-pandemic, the cruise industry was going from strength to strength. A new $177 million Brisbane International Cruise Terminal was heralded as a game-changer, as were a key port dredging project in Cairns, wharf developments in Townsville, Gladstone and Eden, and infrastructure projects in Broome. In its latest report, the Australian Cruise Association said some 1.35 million Australians took cruises in 2018, and the industry had a roughly $5 billion economic footprint in Australia. The ACA says growth was only limited by domestic cruising opportunities. The ACA and CLIA say they're still calculating the economic hit to the industry from COVID-19, but have been buoyed by interest from prospective passengers for the 2021 cruise season.
Well, we've always been a resilient industry. As I said, we have a vast number of people who are avid cruisers and passionate cruisers. And we have no doubt that those passengers will, on the whole, be ready to resail with us when the time is right.
And it is a question of timing. All stakeholders are waiting and watching closely as the New South Wales Special Commission of Inquiry into the Ruby Princess unfolds. The investigation, led by Brett Walker SC into Australia's largest single source of coronavirus cases, is due to report back by August the 14th.
Look, while I can't comment on the specific cases that are sort of subject to inquiries, what has happened in cruise and in travel and tourism in general has been absolutely tragic. But as an industry, we will learn from everything that's happened. We will work with the local authorities. We will work with the medical experts around the world. And we'll do whatever we need to do to restore the confidence that people have in travelling on cruise ships.
Mr. Katz says that includes new pre-cruise questionnaires for passengers, screening at terminals, social distancing rules, changes to food services, sanitation and cleanliness procedures, and new onboard medical facilities. But unions representing seafarers say change must be more fundamental than that. They're calling for improved regulations to clamp down on foreign flagged vessels, which make up a vast majority of cruise ships in Australia. The CLIA says vessels already comply with the International Labour Organization's Maritime Labour Convention, which sets out standards for seafarers and to which Australia is a signatory. But unions argue all operators are ultimately subject to laws in their home port. Countries such as Liberia, Panama and the Bahamas, where wages are low and regulations lax. Unions and seafarer advocacy groups want reinvestment in Australia's domestic cruise fleet to enshrine Commonwealth law and workplace standards on more workers in Australian waters, plus keep taxes paid by cruise operators in Australia. Dean Summers is Australian coordinator for the International Transport Workers Federation. He says the COVID-19 pandemic has presented a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to reform the industry in Australia.
To see where there are opportunities to increase our participation as a nation in that industry, not be completely reliant on foreign flags, in fact, flags of convenience, to carry our people around our coast and in our region. And I think there must be safeguards. There must be some oversight to check on the behaviour and the effectiveness of the cruise ship industry.
Mr. Summers has likened the scenario to how the world handled the sinking of the Titanic in 1912, which led to the creation of the Safety of Life at Sea Convention.
I think we have to have a body that's made up of all industry, of unions that represent those workers, and the ITF can do that across 50 nations, of course, and of government agencies who are responsible for looking after everybody involved in that industry. But it's got to be a body that's got some teeth. And I'm not exactly sure what that looks like now, but I want the conversation to begin, and I want to hear other people's comments, of course. Now, I don't think the industry is going to be very happy about having some level of regulation or some level of oversight, but it has to happen.
Mr. Summers says findings from the Ruby Princess inquiry should help ignite the discussion between stakeholders. Paddy Crumlin, Maritime Union of Australia National Secretary, agrees there must be a tripartite approach.
So we had this sort of collision, you know, of basically neglect, long-term policy neglect, deregulation predicated upon opportunism and mostly exploitation of a deregulated environment. We now had tax evasion works worldwide. And so we've got this situation where there's this great industry, good for the economy, good for tourism, but essential that it be regulated properly, and there's no one to regulate it.
And you can stay up to date on coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Darren Mara, SBS News.